Hope everyone has a good meditation. Tonight I would like to present of benefits of following the basic principles or code of conduct that lay Buddhists follow. Especially tonight I would like to talk about the sexual misconduct in one of the precepts or code of conduct that the Buddhists live. One of them is the to refrain from sexual misconducts. Kameshu mechachara viramani sekabaran samariyami. That is the one of the basic principles in life, code of conduct that practicing Buddhists follow to benefit their lives, to benefit other people's life as well. As you all aware that due to their sexual misconduct, a lot of people have affairs, and then they thought they're having a good time, having fun, but when they caught out, that's not fun anymore, not happy anymore, create a lot of problems. That's for Buddhists, we are fearful of doing these things, and we call it hiri otapa. That means very fearful of the consequences, and we'll feel ashamed, to do these things, because once the wise found out about all these things, then it's very shameful. So Buddhists avoid not refraining these precepts, practicing Buddhists, that is. They try to live with them, and their sexual misconduct is mainly in the relationships. When we form a relationship, it is to form two lives together, to have trust in each other, and then to share life, good or bad, together. And when one went astray like this, and when the other partner found out, it's more or less like a breach of trust. And then that once the trust is broken, it's very hard to mend it again. So, what Buddha said is that there is no fire like lust, no grip like hate, no net like delusion, no river like craving. That's a Buddha's exact words. Nati raga samo. Nati raga samo. Just on the tip of my tongue, I've written down somewhere here, I think. Agi is fire. That's no fire like lust. Nati dosa samo. Gaho, that's a grip. No hate, no grip like hate. And then nati moha sama jalam. Jalam is net. No net like delusion. And nati tanha sama. Nadi, that nadi is river. No river like craving. So in Dhammapada 251, Buddha said that is his exact words. So once we are trying to betray our partners and trying to get into this lust, it burns us. It like fire, like Buddha said, no fire like lust. It burns and burns and burns. Never satisfactory. Never get satisfaction out of it. And it is very sad, because the people become untrustworthy, and then they cheat left, right, and center. And due to this fact, lustful thoughts. So what Buddha says is to divert it like a dam that is full, about to burst, then divert it, then it wouldn't burst the dam. We need to refrain these things. So we need to divert our attention so that we wouldn't commit these horrible, unwholesome things. For example, there's a clock behind me on the wall. We can't hear it now. We cannot hear it because the air conditioner is on. But when the air conditioner is not on, when you are meditating, what some of you will notice, the clock is very loud. Tick, 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 isn't it? Some of you will notice that that clock is very loud. Now, because the air conditioner is on, the noise of the air conditioner is stronger than that clock. So we can hear the clock, but it is still there. The noise is still there. It is still ticking. The same thing. When these unwholesome and lustful thoughts come up, then what we need to do is we need to do some other wholesome things, like you can do volunteering, worthy causes, like go to the young cancer patients, see what you can do for them, or some more important things, like concentrating on the family, children, etc., to divert these things. And if you practice well, it wouldn't be a big problem at all. It is something, that you just, don't worry about it at all. And Buddha also suggests to, look at other people in a different way. If it's older than you, opposite sex, then it's your auntie, it's your mother, it's your, grandmother, etc. And or it's your, uncle, father, grandfather, etc. Whichever sex you are. And if it's the same age with you, it's your brothers, it's your sisters. If it's younger than you, it is your younger brother, younger sister, daughter, sons, grandson, children, so on and so forth. So when you look at it that way, you're not looking at somebody as an object, but somebody as a person that you can relate to. You wouldn't want to hurt your relatives, your little sisters and aunties and uncles and brothers. Same thing. You have this loving kindness mind automatically, created. You don't look with lustful eyes. And when you even look at with lustful eyes, you look with wisdom. What you're seeing is the, according to Buddha's words, hair of the body, hair of the head, the teeth, the skin. That's all you're looking. You're looking. The shape may be different, but the skin is the same. Somebody very, very attractive, somebody not very attractive, look at the skin, the same skin, the same hair, maybe a little bit different, but apart from that, they're all the same. And also, you look at the end and the finish of the product. What you're looking is a constantly changing entity, this body. Next 20 years, you imagine what that body will look like, that you want to die for. It's not there anymore, not like that anymore. Constantly changing, impermanent nature of things. So you look at that way, and then you don't attach to what you're seeing now. You see the changes. It is just another flesh. It is just another body. Maybe tall, maybe short, maybe attractive, maybe not. But it's all the same in the end. Just the mind that creates the desire, isn't it? That's why Buddha said, no river-like craving, you know. So if you understand these things, we can train the mind. That's why we are meditating. It just doesn't happen, you know, naturally that the mind will be able to restrain. When you practice with wisdom, when wisdom develops from this concentrated mind, then you can apply wisdom to everything you see. How beautiful a person is, and how not beautiful a person is. You keep looking, they're the same. No difference there. No, nothing there to desire, isn't it? Do you love somebody really that much? Right? And when somebody went to the toilet, for the big one, after they have went to the toilet, ask them, don't flush it. You go and sit there and smell it. How attractive your partner is. Inside is all the same. So these are the things to see with wisdom. We are looking at the skin deep. We only look at the outer appearance, not looking at what a human being is all about. It's all sort of things covered with his skin, with his hair, with his nails and the teeth. Inside is, when you peel it off, everyone looks the same. You must know this. That's the wisdom eyes that's looking all these entities. There was a young actor in those days, about how many years ago? 30, 40, 50, I don't remember now. Crashed his car and died because he was rejected by one of the actresses, very beautiful actress. You may know, you know the name. So he died. He died for this beautiful lady who has rejected him. And I want to show him today that beautiful, once beautiful lady, how she looks like now. Will he still die for her? Isn't it? So you have to have the time frame. And now you love somebody that much, you know, things change. Your mind change. A craving also change, you know. Preference also change. After about 10, not even 10, after 4 or 5 years, or after 2 or 3 years, your perception change about that person. It's a different perception. Now that person you love is not like that bronze and muscly anymore. It's got beer guts and burps. That beautiful lady that you once adored has now, after 2 or 3 children, looked different, become pear-shaped. So, that is life. It's because of that, are you going to look for another one again? Then that another one you have, after 2 or 3 years, will be the same. 4 or 5 years will be the same. You may change the persons, but you don't change the inherent the nature of this life, the human beings. Everyone's the same. So it's like a chasing rainbow, this fantasy inside the lust, lustful thoughts that we're chasing. Buddha said it's like drinking salty water. You never get satisfied from it. And you have to drink more and more. Your thirst wouldn't be quenched. So, if the dam of the lust has collapsed and the dam broken down, like you have been reading in the newspapers and television now, you know, people are having affair, and when people found out, going through very terrible situations now, what little happiness for half an hour or 2 hours, whatever they have with those in those affairs, now it's all gone. Where are they? Is it worth it to break the trust that, you know, put into each other? Break the relationships. Children suffer and lose their reputation. Very shameful in front of other people. That's what we call hiri otapa, fearful to face those situations, shameful to be reproved by the wise. So good people around the world will be looking at, if you're a famous person, looking at you and say, my goodness, you know, this is terrible, isn't it? Even though they may be good or bad person, everyone look for somebody to look up to, somebody who has good principles, somebody who is good, so they can aspire to that and they can live like that, try and live like that, improve themselves. But when they found out the people they aspire to also, you know, have these things, then their, you know, concepts of goodness in life have somehow dented. So, in a sense, this is to understand, just because you're a famous movie star doesn't mean that you automatically attain all these good moral values. Just because you're very good at singing, or a top politician, or a leader of the world, or whatever, doesn't mean they attain these moral values automatically. They are also human beings. If their minds are not trained, and if they don't have these principles to live with, then they will do these things. Everyone will. Everyone will in their past, experiences that we have seen many famous people and important people, you know, ruin their lives because of these affairs. So sexual misconduct is one that where practicing Buddhists try to, refrain it well. And once the mind is trained, and once the mind is focused on lofty things, wholesome things, more important things in life, then, you know, they're not big problems. They don't have, you know, worries anymore about these lustful things, because they don't have it. That's why Buddha never said that you don't have a relationship in your marriage. He only said that sexual misconduct to refrain from. So you can have your, choose a partner, a good partner, and then you can, enjoy life, a family life. But if you stray, there's a dangerous day outside, and your family will be ruined. Even if you go to next relationship, due to the fact that you have all these backgrounds, people won't trust you. So if we have any doubt at all, that or any little inkling at all, to go astray, to go and have a good times outside the marriage, outside the relationship, think again. Would you trade for a dollar, somebody offering you a dollar, for all the millions you have in the bank? No way you would say, I wouldn't, give my $1 million for the dollar he's offering me, isn't it? The same thing for that little half an hour or 2 hours pleasure. You're giving up your whole life, ruin your whole life, whole relationship. Is that worth it? So I would like to offer this to you. And anytime you have these problems, go out and do something that is more important than those things. There are unfortunate people outside, people dying with cancer, people got no homes, people with problems, people are suicidal. Go out and be useful. Immerse yourself in those things rather than these lustful thoughts, and I hope you can use it in your daily life. Thank you.